We can read all about it. We can tell somebody how to do it. But if we're not willing to do it and make a choice to forgive someone who's wronged us, then we're failing miserably to obey what we've been commanded to do. What is forgiveness? And I'm going to give you a hint. Remember, what does it mean when the example that I threw at you last week looked like this? What does that say? Just let it go. All those feelings of angst and anger and wrath and discord and everything else, when we obey the commands that are given and we are told to forgive, we have got to examine self. And the best way that I've examined self over the years is to finally learn to just let it go. So with that reminder, what do you recall and what in your experience does it mean to give forgiveness? What does forgiveness mean? Please. Okay. Here's some help. Forgiveness is a pardon. It's a cancel of a debt. It's the feeling to send away, dismiss, or leave alone, or as I example, just let it go. Forgiveness is a release of resentment, of anger. Now here's the toughest part, and I'm talking to me when I point this out. Forgiveness involves letting go of deeply held negative feelings in a way that empowers you to recognize the pain you've suffered without letting that pain go. I hope you remember that what we talked about last week was that forgiveness, when we don't just let it go, it haunts us. It just buries us with all of the weight of carrying something too far. If you forgive someone, the toughest part in my walk has been forgiving myself. Can we agree on that? That when you try to forgive someone, the toughest, the heaviest lift in lots of cases is to not give it up. Just to hold on to it. And we're going to talk a little bit deeper this morning about some of those things that involve forgiveness is a decision that we make. And believe me, we can read that forgiveness is a requirement. But all too often, we need to put some attention to the fact that it's a choice that we got to make. We can read all about it. We can tell somebody how to do it. But if we're not willing to do it and make a choice to forgive someone who's wronged us, then we're failing miserably to obey what we've been commanded to do. Richard.
And focusing on that idea that forgiveness empowers us, if we refrain from forgiving, then it allows the other person to continue to have power over us.
And continue and continue and continue to do what? Control us. And that's what we're trying to get away from, is letting someone other than the Lord control us. Richard has nailed it. If we but forgive, that gives the door opening to shed it, to get rid of it, that the person who's wronged us is no longer in control. It doesn't define us. The wrong that was done, if we don't just let it go, defines us. So I'm offering you this morning that it's a decision that you must make and I must make. And somebody sent me an email this week that says, do you know that forgiveness is not happening unless I take care of myself? Forgiveness is not happening unless I take care of myself. Well, what does that mean? This person had the idea that when he forgives, not only is he honoring what God said do, but he's making a promise to himself. And it says, I choose, I have decided that I'm not going to dwell on the wrong that was done to me any longer. Paul Matches.
I agree with the way you said it there. But if a person wrongs you or lives in such a, has such a personality that he continually wrongs people or wrongs you, I can let it go to the point where I don't have, if I don't associate with them. But as soon as I associate with them, they do it again and again and again. I have to disassociate from that person. And I don't know if that's what God wants me to do. But I have to, because I harbor ill feelings toward him every time he does it.
Yep. Yep.
Or a person who does something like this. So I can say I don't have an enemy. Or at least I don't feel anyone is my enemy.
Okay.
Because I don't have a problem. I can let all that go. And I have. But there's a person that's in my life that whenever I'm around him, he acts up.
Yep.
And he does it on purpose.
Yep.
Because that's his life. That's how
he
is.
He knows that's your hot button.
No, he's just that kind of person.
Okay.
It's not doing it to me. You understand?
And that's how you're handling it. It's not to
you. He's not doing it necessarily to me on purpose. He's just that way. He's either crude or rude or any number of the, you go on and on. And yeah. And he's, you can't correct someone who just doesn't.
And again, it's going back to you. You're taking care of Paul and your heart and your feelings.
Well, I would be constantly harboring ill feelings toward that person if I didn't.
Very good.
And I don't want to, so I just have to avoid.
Anybody got any comments on what Paul said? Help me, Ronald.
There's just a verse that comes to mind, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yep.
And if you substitute the word forgiveness in there, forgive your neighbor as you've forgiven yourself, it seems to fit. And there's another verse that talks about by doing so, you're heaping coals of fire on their head. They can't stand they don't know how to deal with it. It hurts them. So I'm not sure that I'm addressing exactly what Paul is saying, but we have that responsibility to forgive. And I think it's important that you go directly to the person and not wait for him to come to you.
And as Paul has mentioned in this particular example, that's just the way he is. Well, you know, we're going to go into a little bit of this stuff about 70 times 7. Remember that? We're going to address that one. But I'm trying to lock it in that take care of your feelings and your forgiveness first. Okay? We got one here and then Miss Ruth. Ruth Hemphill.
I think it's important to realize that forgiveness doesn't always mean that you immediately forget, but I think it's important what you put up there to not dwell on this incident. And if you don't dwell on this and you pray for the person that you feel like you need to forgive, it's awful hard to carry those ill feelings towards them. I find that when I'm praying for somebody, and it's hard when you're trying to forgive somebody, but when you pray for that person, that God enters your heart and allows you to have that forgiveness.
Bingo. Somebody else? Comments on that one? Don't dwell on it. And remember, I'm talking three fingers right at me, because the incident I shared with you about my family members charging $20 a light bulb to change the lights for my mom and dad, I still dwell on that. It just drives me berserko sometimes thinking about that little misbehavior. So it's hard to do, but it's necessary. I will not bring up this incident again and use it against you. And that's coming out of Psalms 130, as you can see here. If you, God, kept records on wrongdoings, who would stand a chance? As it turns out, forgiveness is your habit, and that's why you're worshiped. That's kind of one of those lock-solid scriptures that answers how we do the top two things. Don't dwell on it. Don't use it against. Don't bring it up, and don't let it be used against you. I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. Okay, that's two out of four. Richard.
And I think remember there means a little bit different than how we think of it today. It doesn't necessarily mean that I don't have a cognizance of it, but it goes back to that, under that second bullet point, I won't remember, I won't use it against you anymore.
I may never forget it, as Ruth talked about, but I'm not going to let it burden me or encumber me. I'm going to let it go such that I'm not going to bring it up, and I'm not going to use it against you. Two more. These get tougher every time. I will not talk to others about this incident. I will not let this incident stand between me and you, and most importantly, between me and the Lord. Ron.
There is a certain point in your efforts, I think, that you're spinning your wheels.
Tell me why.
And after you've done the process that's described to us, and the church has been apprised of what's going on, then that's all you can do. I mean, there is a finality to this thing. If somebody chooses to just hold on to something like that, the kind of guy that he's talking about, I don't know if he's a member of the church or not, but in any case, there is a finality process, a final process that you can go through to rid yourself of any blame, so to speak.
How do you handle that? Do you just consistently be intentional about not remembering it, about not bringing it up? Is that kind of how you?
No, I'm saying, let's say it is a member, says Paul, that I've had a problem with. It's my responsibility to worship God, and I come here and worship God, and if he chooses to come and try to irritate me in some way because of that, whatever it was, I think you got to, if the church knows about, meaning the eldership, let's say, knows about what's going on, there is a responsibility there for them to assist in helping straighten out the problem.
Okay. Miss Betty, help me, right behind you, Richard.
Thank you. And I'm a student of people for many years.
Tell me about it.
And I have found that very often people who are perpetual irritants to others don't even know what they're doing. They have this habit of being the way they are. And somebody has to pull their coat. And of course, it needs to be someone with grace and wisdom and some authority to take them aside and pull their coat.
Matthew 18.
But it is a secular saying, but it's so true. Hurt people hurt people.
Ooh. Absolutely. We all need to be able to give it up. We all need to be able to give forgiveness. If we don't, we poison our soul. Look at this Ephesians. And this Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 are kind of the bedrock verses that go with the themes on this forgiveness. Get rid of it. Get rid of bitterness, rage and anger, broiling and slander, along with every form of malice. That's pretty much a golden rule. We all need to give forgiveness just as Christ forgave us. There's the 32 verse. We need to forgive our debtors as we forgive our debtors. So those are the pretty much cardinal rules of what we're doing. Now, we all need to give forgiveness. When we do forgive, we example what God has done for us. This is Ephesians 5. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you, keep company with Him, and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He did not love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of Himself to us. Love like that. This idea of forgiving those who have wronged us brings the big picture out of this verse. Love like the Lord loved. And I would trust that if we took the example, if I've got a problem with Paul, I'm going to go to Paul and explain it like we exampled in Matthew 18. I'm going to love Paul. I'm, through my words, as Miss Betty said, someone that has love, someone that has wisdom, above all, someone that has courage to go to the person who's wronged us. That's just part of the practice that we need to put in place for forgiveness. Forgiveness is not connected with things that are not, that things are, forgiveness is connected with things that are sinful. This is that traditional passage that we go to in Luke 17. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. But woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or your sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. What happens if they don't repent? The onus is still on us. Even if they don't come to us and repent and we've been wrong, the onus is still on us to forgive them. You with me? All right. Now, this is where we have some fun this morning. My header says, what about things that hurt my feelings? And I've given you some examples. Someone that doesn't call me when I'm sick or in another difficult situation. Being passed over for a promotion at the workplace. Not being invited to a certain event, or when our child is excluded from that event. Someone not expressing as much concern for our situation as we think they should. This happens every day. So let's tackle it. Someone that does not call me when I'm sick or I'm in another difficult situation. If you've ever served in a congregation and a leader position, particularly such as a shepherd, it's not something that happens out of anger. It's just simply a question that says, why didn't you check on me? Why didn't you call me when I was in the hospital? Now, how do you handle that situation if you were me, David, Chris, Bill? How would you handle that? See that feeling you're having asking you that question? How would you handle it? It's a tough job. Coming to you, Jack, so you can be heard. We're handling, how do we handle it when someone doesn't call me when I'm sick or in a difficult position?
Well, you're talking specifically, you, I think, with your scenario, with being an elder.
Yep.
Okay, being an elder is a tough job.
Yep.
Being an elder is a shepherd. A shepherd cannot take care of the flock unless he knows where the flock is.
Okay.
And that being said, there's several ways of doing that, especially if you have like four elders.
Okay.
If I was doing it, I would divide it up into four categories. I'd divide the congregation up into four categories.
Okay.
And by doing that, that shepherd is in charge of one quarter of the congregation as far as letting the other elders know what's going on.
Okay. Can I cut you off just a minute? I want to share something. I don't think he'll have any objection to this. Another way of handling a scenario like that, if you're an elder, is that your Bible class teaching duo couple, who are loved and respected by so many people here, if you exampled what this couple did recently, Shaq, I want you to know I missed child so-and-so in my class this week. I really hope that as a shepherd, you would check on that family. You see how that works? Here's a loving Bible class teaching couple who had, first of all, missed a person who they loved in their class. And not only did they own the responsibility and tackling to check on the person, but they came to a shepherd and said, hey, I just want you to know I've missed now 2 weeks with this child in my class. And sure enough, I don't know if I got to tell you, but there was heavy cases of COVID throughout that whole family. And that's why they were not here. But had you not mentioned it to someone, then frankly, there is a process of watching and looking that says, okay, we're not here this week. Check on me. All right? So thank you for the servant heart that y'all brought forward in handling that scenario. Everybody with me? Monty Betts, please.
That's a long way to go, Monty.
That's why you get paid the big bucks, brother.
You need that exercise. I'm trying to help you here.
Let me make sure I'm understanding what that says. It says someone that does not call me when I'm sick or in other difficult. So I'm sick, I got a problem or whatever, and nobody's called me. All right, we've got the elders. Why didn't they call me? Well, maybe I need to think about it. It's not all about me. If they are good elders, good shepherds, they may be working with some other people that need their help a lot more than me. So that's one thought. The other thought is, if I'm really in a situation that I need help with, I need to call someone and say, you know, I've got this issue that's come on me. I need some help. Could you help me? Or is there someone that you know that could give me a hand? So I need to feel good enough about my brothers and sisters, my shepherds, my deacons, whoever they are, that I could call on them when I really do need help, and they would help me figure this thing out. And I need to be aware I'm not the only one, that there's others that probably need more help,
And if they're out there helping them, then that's okay.
Thank you. What I'm trying to highlight is that these actions that are on this board, and don't take me wrong here, I do not believe that that's sin connected, those items. I don't believe that if someone is missing and they don't get a call, that that's a sin. And you're saying, well, you're just a shepherd trying to make an excuse. That's how I believe it is, and it ties back to what Monty said. The onus is on both of us. We missed you, one of the flock members, therefore, out of love, we're checking on you. Yes, Paul.
I would have never thought I'd say this, but I've been in the hospital a bunch. Nothing, well, I won't say life-threatening. I guess it could have been.
Yeah, it's life-threatening.
But I felt like I was okay. I mean, I was a little wacky for a while and had a bad infection 4 times, but other times too. So I've been visited by the elders, and I've been not visited. I'm pretty much not a real needy person, okay? There were times when my wife would sit there idly and we'd watch TV or we'd chat, or she'd read a book and I'd watch TV, but she was there, but there weren't a lot of times where she could even be there, my wife. She has obligations at the house and in other family. And there were times when my kids couldn't be there. Now, the last time, since my wife was in Alaska, the kids spent a lot of time with me and I was entertaining them in my delirium. And they kept laughing at things I was doing. I look over there, oh, they're laughing, okay.
For those of you who don't know, Paul was over there in the hospital and his wife was in Alaska on vacation and he would not let her know he was in the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny.
That's funny, all right.
Yeah, I made that decision when I was delirious too. But but I've been both ways, and I don't have a harbor anything. That's I know what schedules are,
yep.
And people are, and it's hard to get into a hospital nowadays anyway. Yeah. They've got such rules that if there's a family, one person, that means your wife has to leave or somebody else. And I stay on my phone and I can communicate a lot with texts.
Yep.
And
yep.
I think I pretty much kept everybody aware of them.
My point is that be careful. Some of these things that we're talking about on this board may not require forgiveness. Richard.
I was thinking that whenever that first came up, this may not be scenarios that require forgiveness, but they do perhaps involve that concept of letting go.
Letting go.
And I think I agree with Monty's concept. The first thing that came to my mind is the best way to let go is to not focus on ourselves and focus on other people and focus on doing what's right. And these things probably won't be a problem in most cases.
Absolutely. Question here, Diane.
I was also thinking about we should be close to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we're a member of a congregation and we haven't shown up, we don't have any relationship with our brothers and sisters, we might not be called because we're not there enough for people to know us. But if we are, I mean, we should have not just elders, but we should have friends and sisters and brothers that would close enough to us to know something's wrong that they would call and say, I haven't seen you for a month. Are you okay? Or even 2 weeks.
Well done.
So we should be close enough with relationships to our brothers and sisters that other people are calling and checking on us.
The good news about this family here is what you just described is rampant. People are not checking on you like they did in my Army days. Remember the story about every Thursday evening someone would knock on our door at Fort Leonard Wood. You're going to go to hell because you weren't in Wednesday night Bible class last night. You better get yourself over there. And that's not the same as we're talking about this morning. Like, we truly miss a brother or a sister, therefore, as a relationship, we will check on them. Do they need help? Go, Richard.
Take it one step beyond relationship and call it fellowship. Fellowship means a sharing of something. And when we say fellowship, a lot of times we're talking about, you know, having a meal together, but fellowship is not just sharing a meal, it's sharing our lives.
Right. My point in this slide is simply just not consider these things as sin, but consider these things as loving and caring opportunity for following up with someone. If you think that you've been wronged, take it to that brother or that sister and let them know that. Example, David Love, Chris Kent. Months ago, we were having a discussion over a matter that involved some decisions that needed to be made. David and Chris both gave some opinions about how they felt about this particular matter. In that particular month, it was my month to be the facilitator elder running the meetings. And I just blew them away by not paying attention to what they had said. It was getting near the end of the discussion, and we had talked and talked, prayed twice, and an opinion was offered by both of them, and for whatever reason, I just went on down the road doing something totally that acknowledged I didn't hear them. Here's my point. I didn't know that I had offended them. So that afternoon, I get a call from Chris. Hey, Shaq, you got wax in your ears? What's going on here? I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, you know, David and I were offering an opinion, and you, not only did you not acknowledge the opinion, but then you went on to a different topic. I had no clue that I had offended those two brothers. So where's the onus? The onus is not on those two guys. The onus was on me, because one of them had offered to help me clean the wax out of my ears. So I simply went to the brother, plural, and said, hey guys, I'm totally sorry for that. Please forgive me. And Chris quickly said, wait a minute, you don't have to forgive me. You don't have to ask for my forgiveness. That was not a sin that you did. But I appreciate you offering the apology. So David Chris example is where I'm trying to bring it to you, that it may not be the classic sin, but it is something that you could offer an apology for doing. Make sense? But that's the kind of relationship and fellowship that we guys have as a shepherding team. We listen to each other, we pray for each other, and sometimes wax in the ear guy like me doesn't hear it, but it's not a sin. Yes, sir.
Sometimes your brain starts thinking on another topic, and I bet it's happened. This has happened to everybody. As Neil is preaching, and you're going down maybe a lesson plan, and he strikes something that you, and you start thinking about that. 10 minutes of his lesson is lost because you're stuck on this other thing that he made a point that maybe you had never thought of.
Yep.
And you're trying to ponder that a little deeper, and he's just going on. Well, here you were thinking of something that's hit in your brain, and you're thinking of your next thought. And if you do it repeatedly, then it's kind of rude, because you do because that means that you're not listening. You're thinking of the next thing you want to say. So, but I don't think that's what you were doing. You just hit a thought that, oh, I gotta get this out because the meeting's getting long, and it just passed by you. So anyway, I just wanted to bring it out that your brain rolls on there and sometimes you miss things.
To those two brothers' credit, earlier in the lesson, those things came that said just what? Don't dwell on it. Don't bring it up anymore. Those kind of things, yeah, are what we're talking about as classic examples. Forgiveness relates to things much more relevant that hurt feelings unless caused by sin. That's exactly what those examples were. None of those were caused by sin. And what the takeaway on that is, let's not hold grudges over non-sinful choices that people make. Give them the benefit of the doubt when it comes to area of opinion. And that's truly what we need to be doing. How do we forgive others? According to Matthew, it starts from the heart. Likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So how should we forgive? Start with from the heart. We talked about forgetting. In Hebrews, it says, we'll be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So although this is not the easy one, it's certainly scriptural that when we forgive, we try to forget. And we could spend a whole class period talking about the techniques of forgetting, and it's very difficult to do. But keep in mind that you need to be thinking about forgetting when you offer your forgiveness. We should always forgive without limiting the number of times. It goes back to Paul. This is one you ought to read this afternoon in the 18th chapter of Matthew, when it says in 21 and 22, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Are you kidding me? 490 times? I gotta forgive Paul? Will he never get the message? Only kidding, you know that. But my point is that our forgiveness doesn't need to be chalk marked. This is the sixth time I've forgiven. So how do you do that? It's all about your heart, it's all about your approach, and it's all about your commitment to honor God. How should we forgive? Well, as I recall, the Lord has said to us, I've forgiven your darkest sins completely and freely. So when we do that, once again, let's remember, starts with forgiveness by making a change, turning away, and forgiving from the heart. Trying to forget, as modeled in Hebrews, forget what's been done against us. Once you forgive, try to drop it. Don't keep a scorecard as to how many times Todd Murphy comes over to me and then I have to forgive him for something. Not a scorecard game, right? It's amazing. So the 490 times, got a question or a comment? Go.
My comment is, if you look at this verse, Peter's saying, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I think it's talking about a our brotherhood we have in Christ.
In Christ.
In Christ. And then you give them 70 times 7.
Yep.
This is forgiveness of our brothers is within the body of
Christ. Body of Christ. Yep.
A lot of times we think about forgiving the world for their that, but I think it's strongly talking about his body, his church, and his children.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. What we got is, 2 minutes. Next week, Bob Ray is going to close us out on our study of forgiveness. The thing I want you to take away this week is that forgiveness starts with us in our heart. It's not about keeping score. It's about doing what? Letting it go. There's some consideration of things that happen that are not sin. It may just be appropriate to offer an apology. You didn't sin. The other person didn't sin against you. But yet, in order to keep the love flowing, it may be best for an apology to be extended. Lord God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for all of the wisdom that's been displayed and the comments presented. Father, I ask you to go with us. Help us to be forgivers this week. Help us to understand that you're in control, and that we, as soon as we turn to you and as soon as we lift this burden away of hoarding sinful acts that have been presented, that we are free. We are free in you, and you are our Savior. Bless us, God, as we try to honor you with our works and our hearts. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.